Lambda Weekly. Good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I will get that right after a while. One of these, I've been doing the show how long?
Morning?
30 years? And yeah. Good morning. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Ron Landis. The late Reverend Patty Fink is in California this week.
I thought she was back this week.
Oh, she's back this week.
I thought.
Well, if the late Patty Fink comes in late, we'll know she's here. If she's not, we'll know she isn't here.
Yeah.
And she'll be here next week. How's that? Okay, so I'm glad we know just what we're doing. Our guest today is Jelinski Brown. He is the program coordinator for United Black Element, which is a program of Resource Center.
Yes.
Welcome, Jelinski.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad you came. The connection we had, I was a speaker at one of their programs. You know, just me, I shot my mouth off for an hour. And
you had some wonderful things to say.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of fun. And I said, you know what, you need to come on the show. Just talk about all the stuff you do. That program, and what I was talking about was gays and Judaism. And there was somebody there speaking about gays and Buddhism and...
Gays and Christianity,
and there was one other. Gays...
There was supposed to be the atheists and the Islamic, but those two guys had canceled that right before the discussion started.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about religion, gays and religion. It was just a real interesting conversation. And I said to Jelinski, was this part of something bigger that you do? Or because the program stood on its own. Some people who were there just came for that program, but... and he said, yes, it was. First of all, what is UBE?
Well, UBE stands for United Black Element. It's actually an empowerment project, which is an intervention that's designed to raise awareness about HIV transmission. But the underlying and the bigger, more reaching thing of it all is to empower young men to overcome their obstacles in their lives or whatever it is that may be causing them to be at a place to where they put themselves in a position to contract HIV. So we just really help guys to lift their life condition. And, you know, one of the things that we cover is spirituality in that. So that's why we have things like Bible study and the interfaith panel discussion to help guys deal with that piece of their lives and know how to put that into context of today's world.
Okay, so let's first just talk about one of the things that you said before the show is that sometimes you're more invested in helping them than they are in helping themselves.
Exactly.
And that had to do mostly with HIV awareness.
Right. A lot of times it's like when guys, you know, if they get a positive diagnosis, you know, they kind of shut down and it's like, oh, they don't want to deal with that. They feel like, oh, if I don't think about it, nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly the opposite. If you don't think about it, that's when it's going to get you. You know, you have to, a lot of times I find myself internalizing a lot of the guys' struggle, and it feels like I want to cry and pull my hair out when they should be wanting to do that. It's like, you know, hey, my situation, I'm, you know, have mine together, and I'm making sure that my health and everything, I'm checking on that. So, you know, a lot of times it's kind of sad when I'm getting work with guys and they kind of give up on themselves, and it's like, you know, if you don't love yourself enough to love you, how can you expect anybody else to? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest challenges, really getting guys to love themselves enough to, you know, demand more, project, mm-hmm. and get more out of life.
And do you mean like specifics like after they get an HIV positive diagnosis, is it hard for them to continue taking medication or to even follow up, get follow-up appointments and even start the medication?
So generally how it works, you know, you go in and get a test, and then, you know, after that you go through like some kind of early intervention where you do a complete lab work and your doctors will determine what course of treatment is best for you. Mm-hmm. But the issue is a lot of times after the guys get the positive diagnosis, they never make it to that first treatment appointment to get the overall lab work and, you know, getting into what medication is right for them.
Because they hadn't regularly been in healthcare.
Exactly.
In the healthcare system.
A lot of times these guys aren't even engaged into healthcare whatsoever. Their first time getting engaged in the healthcare system may be a free STD test at a club. Mm-hmm. That may be the first time they've ever, you know, been to a doctor or, you know, even proactively without something being, you know, drastically wrong. So a lot of times guys just get nervous when they do get that, you know, that it's life-changing. And that's kind of what we're here for, United Black Element, because a lot of times we help guys know that they're not alone. We help guys navigate through the system because it can be complex. You know, you think you don't have insurance and things like that, but there's different services out there, and that's what we like to be at United Black Element, is those resources for guys, you know, that don't have anywhere else to turn. You know, if they need coming out with their HIV status to their family members, boyfriends, or whoever. You know, we sit down, we'll have those conversations, and, you know, we'll help. If we do got to call them every week to, you know, say, hey, your appointment is next week, you know, we'll do that, you know. But it's like a lot of times it's challenging because there's a lot of guys out there who, you know, are in this boat. So it's one of our things is this is not just a single fight. It's a group effort. The more of us that get involved, the faster we can.
Now, it can be scary going to the doctor for the first time to find out, you know, you have HIV. What can be done about it? And that can be scary.
Right.
Sometimes do you go along on an appointment with them just to hold their hand and say, okay, you're going to be okay?
I have. I'll sit through whatever appointment they need me to sit through. I'll even get blood drawn. You know, some of the guys sometimes they'll, you know, the follow-up appointments, they got to get all this blood drawn. Mm-hmm. They get nervous about that too. So I'll sit there and have, you know, get my blood drawn too, just to whatever I got to mm-hmm. do to make them comfortable in these different situations, because it's like it only gets better. You know, the hardest part is just the initial shock stage. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once you get into treatment, you know, the medication, today's medication is just so far advanced. You know, you really have little to worry about. You know, you get on treatment in the beginning, you know, a lot of times your body is able to, you know, suppress the virus and you...
And when some of those medications don't work at first, there are other medications even.
Exactly.
Now. So...
And that's why it's best to not wait to the last minute, you know. So if, you know, in the beginning, if doctor can realize, okay, maybe this treatment wasn't best for you, but we're still early enough in mm-hmm. your diagnosis to where we can switch you over to something else, and, you know, you still have an opportunity to live a long, healthy life.
Mm-hmm. If you could talk a little bit about UBE's outreach efforts to even get gentlemen, young men to be tested at all, because I know that's a lot, that's a big problem, just in
In general,
just the gay population in general, to get men tested.
So one of the things that I really love about our program in particular is that testing isn't something that we are necessarily contracted to do. However, we do promote, you know, that because our main mission, you know, is community mobilization and HIV awareness. So as a part of that, one of the things that we try to do is we throw a lot of social events. That way it attracts guys, because a lot of times, you know, what we've discovered is you just put the health all into guys' face and that's like the headline of what you're doing. A lot of guys aren't going to come out to things like that.
Well, which are you going to go to? Hey, we're doing HIV testing, or hey, we're having a party.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we throw that social focus and then throw the HIV component in there. And then, of course, with, you know, United Black Elements under Resource Center, which we have so many different programs in, Nelson Thibodeau Clinic is one. So we have our testers come out to our events, and, you know, by way of that, we're bringing the guys together, you know, talking about HIV education, and then we also have the testers there available too. So it's this, you know, it's a party, so to speak, a social gathering, but we have that health component in there, so guys can do that kind of not all in their face, but, you know, just along with the party, and it makes it more comfortable for the guys.
Because the HIV test takes what, 5 minutes, including waiting for the result?
About 5 minutes, but generally, we can get it done quick enough, because the test nowadays, we have the NC test, which the results is about 60 seconds. So mm-hmm. once they drop the blood on there, it's about 60 seconds, they know the results. So a lot of times, you know, they...
By 5 minutes, I meant coming over here, sitting down,
right.
You know, everything.
Right.
Beginning to end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, we actually have pretty big weekend events coming up next weekend, because it's actually the 5th year anniversary of United Black Element. So on Friday night, we're doing an open mic night. We're inviting people out to, you know, come out and talk about whatever they want to talk about. We got 3 to 5 minutes. You want to sing, yodel, whatever it is you want to do, spoken word, you know, just
LaRon
come out.
Yodels like nobody I know.
I'll be there to show you.
Where's it going to be?
And that's going to be at TMC on the Strip, which is at 3903 Cedar Springs Road. And then on Saturday,
what time?
That's from 7 to 10 p.m., and that's Friday, July 18th.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, we're having a field day event over at Exile Park, which is off of Live Oak by Baylor Hospital. I mean, that's from 3 to 7 p.m., and we're going to have, basically it's like the elementary field day, but we're going to turn it into an adult version. So we have the potato sack races, the spoon races.
Nice.
We're going to have the basketball court, the volleyball games, kickball. So we're going to do just have a whole, so guys can get physically active and we can have fun, and that's like going to be the biggest thing. And in the past, there's been upwards to like 500 guys come to these type of events. Mm. So a lot of times we, you know, we'll have our testers out there, so they'll be able to test, and then we have other folks out there that, you know, that dealing with health risks. related things. So not only are the guys able to have fun and interact with other guys, you know, there's also that health component, so they can engage, take that time to engage their health status and all those things. And then on Sunday, July 20th, we're going to end our weekend of celebratory events at our actual space in Deep Ellum, which is at 3116 Commerce Street. And that's from 3 to 7 p.m., and we're having a nice brunch. It's going to be catered, and it's real nice, formal kind of event. However, you don't have to dress formal if you want to.
And it was planned purposely so that they can first listen to Lambda Weekly.
Yes.
And then head over to Deep Ellum.
Exactly. David made sure we do it that way.
So what are some of the other challenges that face, I guess, some of the population that you all are trying to reach?
So one of the biggest challenges that we have is a lot of times homelessness for the guys, you know, coming out to their families, okay, they don't necessarily understand it, so it's like, okay, get out, you know.
Right.
And there's been so many times we've been up there to 12 o'clock at night trying to call around and find places for these guys to go stay, whether it's a homeless shelter or calling friends or however it is.
How old are you talking about?
Our population that we tend to generally deal with 18, the youngest, but we have dealt with people younger than that. Mm. But
So these are teens that are being thrown out of their houses.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's, and that's one of those things. People are coming out younger.
Yeah.
And it's not just teens, though. You know, a lot. Mm-hmm. There's 24-year-olds, 26-year-olds, all ages, you know, really. Our program specifically targets 18 to 29-year-olds. Mm-hmm. However, if anybody outside of that demographic comes to us and asks for help, we're not going to turn them away.
Of course.
A lot of times, guys do, you know, they have nowhere else to go. And our program is such a unique program that we're really able to be that resource for guys, you know, if they don't necessarily know where to go. If we can't help them, we'll direct them in a direction that they mm-hmm. can get some help.
Mm-hmm. And you say coming out, you know, you'll be there to help them come out to friends and family if need be. Is that coming out as a gay man or coming out as HIV positive or both?
Both. We will help do all that types of stuff because it's two different types of coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to deal with the stigma of being gay, and then you have to deal with also the stigma of being HIV positive. So those different situations are much different. A lot of guys go through them at different stages. Some guys go through them at the same time, and that makes things more complex. And then there's also a lot to being Black and gay, and so that adds another layer of things because of the church and a lot of the way that fits into Black culture. A lot of times sexuality isn't something that we talk about a whole lot mm-hmm. in the Black community, so it just makes it that much harder for guys to open up and want to talk about those conversations. So a lot of times when family gets wind of these guys are doing these certain types of things, like we've even had guys that come to UB and their family found out about it, and they got mad, and even, you know, got mad at us because we're just doing our jobs and being support for these guys. You know, we're not trying to...
You're just there. Your doors
right.
are open.
But it's like they want to say, we made them gay. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't do that. We're just here trying to do what you should be doing, helping
because
your child.
Because if we knew how, we'd make sure there were a lot more gay people.
Exactly. I think I'd have to co-sign on that
one. I think on Cedar Springs, one of those storefronts would be called the recruiting station.
Exactly. The recruiting station.
Exactly. But we've never done that.
We've never
you
been able
why?
To do that. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So, you know, and isn't it funny how, and this is in the Black community, white community, you know, they're just crazies who don't think it through. Mm. If we can't turn you straight, how can we turn you gay?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. But that makes too much sense, David.
Yeah.
That makes too much sense.
It's just something you are.
I love when people ask, when did you know you were gay? Like, especially coming from a straight person, I'm always like, when did you know you were straight? It's like, you know.
Yeah, really?
But there is a slight difference because since everybody is raised to be straight, except for your daughter. She'll just be whatever she is.
She'll be whatever she is.
But generally, we are raised to be straight. And you're raising Gabrielle, assuming she's straight.
Assuming she is. And if we're going on stereotypes, it looks like she probably will be.
And isn't it funny how there's still that assumption that, you know, when did you know, or there's that question, when did you know that you were gay? well, because I always knew I was straight because that's what I was supposed to be. When did you start being different? My answer is I was always a little bit different.
Right.
That was yours too, right?
I feel the same way. I mean,
Laurent, God help him.
Ever since I can remember, I always remember questioning things. Like, I never was one of those kids who believed that the world was the way it was because the adult said it was that way. Because a lot of times I would see the adults would say one thing, but then visually I would see another thing. So that kind of confused me, and I've always been nosy or inquisitive, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, upon my own investigation, I was just like, okay, you know, really with life is whatever we make it. So, yeah, you know, straight may be the predominantly thing that's perpetuated in society, but that's not to necessarily say it's right. So,
And it's not. We're not saying it's wrong either.
Right. No,
I just want to make that clear.
But it may not be as fun either, though.
It's and just something that.
And if my daughter turns out to be straight, I'll love her anyway.
Right. We love straight people.
Yeah. Now you love her anyway. You love her because you love her.
Of course.
You love her for who she is.
Love her for who she is.
God help her.
How old is your daughter?
She's five.
Five.
She's five.
Yeah, she's going through her terrible twos for the third year.
Oh, wow.
They're starting to ease up a little bit. Just a little.
Has she started school yet?
She starts in the fall.
In the fall. Uh-huh.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis. The late Reverend Patty Fink is in California performing a wedding for her new church. Our new internet church. We have to hear about this next week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly. Our guest is Jelinski Brown. He's with UBE. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Want to find out about upcoming events at KNON? Want to see pictures from past events or need information about the station? Then you need to like the official KNON Facebook page. It's easy to find. Just go to facebook.com/KNON893. It's the KNON 89.3 FM station-produced page for Facebook. It's the easiest way to keep up with what's going on here at KNON. Like us and share with your friends today. That's facebook.com/KNON893. Accept no substitutions.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And that music means it's time for Laurent's entertainment report, and Laurent is busy scrambling.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know we were going to it. Let me pull it up.
You're the one who told me you had an entertainment report today, so...
All right, we're ready.
Last week I screwed up the board royally. This week it's you, Laurent.
All right. Here we go, all right. This year's Emmy nominations were just announced, and again, Laverne Cox has made history as the first transgender person ever to be nominated for an Emmy. Ms. Cox picked up a nod for her outstanding guest actress in a comedy series for her role on the show Orange is the New Black. I'm glad President and CEO Kate Ellis issued a statement pointing out the significance of Cox's nomination, saying that Laverne Cox continues to break barriers. Today, countless of transgender youth will hear the message that they can be who they are and still achieve their dreams. Nothing is out of reach. I think that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this
we
has
need
been
to have her on.
Oh God, I love to have her on. Yeah. I mean, okay. This has been the year of Laverne Cox.
I'll put you on that one.
Okay, I'll try to get on that.
Do you know who is not nominated, though?
Who?
Emerson Collins was on our show, five, 6 weeks ago. Emerson does a show on Bravo. He writes for the Dallas Voice, but he does a show on Bravo called The People's Couch, where they sit.
Oh, yes.
It's a wonderful show.
Yes.
They sit and trash all the other shows on Bravo.
Oh.
They watch, the Real Housewives,
right.
And they just talk about what idiots everybody else on that station is.
Wow. And that's on Bravo as well?
It's on Bravo, Bravo. So what I love about it is at least Bravo knows that the rest of its schedule is crap.
Right.
Emerson deserves an Emmy for that. He was not nominated.
But there's a, of course, go check out all the Emmy nominations this year. There's a lot of gay and lesbian nominated actors or people who portray gay and lesbian characters nominated this year. Very good list. After years of speculation and public ANSEP denial, Australian Olympic gold medalist diver has come out, Ian Thorpe. He did it on an Australian TV show. TV show airs tonight, actually. He said, now on the show, he discusses his long battle with depression, a condition he says that he believed that was brought on by the media's incessant speculation about his supposedly being gay.
If you're an Olympic diver, you're gay. Get over it.
Just now, come on. Not all of them.
Since Greg Louganis, every Olympic diver who's won is gay. I don't want to hear it. I don't want the phone to start ringing to give me examples of ones that aren't. Just get over it. What's his name?
Ian Thorpe.
Ian, get over it.
Now, here's the thing, though. This is what I don't get about celebrities, whatever you're in the public for, sports actor, whatever.
Radio DJ.
Yeah, whatever. If you're gay and you know you are, something's still playing. Just say it's none of your business, but to come out and flat out deny it, and then you're going to come out years later. This is like the second or third person of late to have done this.
Yeah,
it's silly.
You know, because here's me personally. If you say you're not gay, especially when you're in your 20s, when you should definitely know where your sexual orientation is, I'm going to go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt and take you at your word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, okay, you say you're not gay, I'll take you at your word. But it looks pretty bad, and he was denying this as early as recent as of 2012 in his autobiography. So this wasn't just
like... Let's form a gay council and revoke his gay card.
Has it been issued yet?
Exactly. Ian says that he lied because he didn't know if Australia wanted its champion to be gay.
Oh, please. Australia doesn't have any other gays?
Oh, no.
Priscilla? oh, please.
No, they have a
what
lot of
kind?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he was Saudi Arabian diver, Ian Thorpe.
Yeah, that's true.
He wasn't Ugandan diver or even Russian diver.
That's true.
And if he was Russian diver, he needs to come out to say, excuse me, but gay people are winning your gold medals here.
Right. Yeah. Now, so, I mean...
In Australia, really?
Yeah. Now, a lot of celebrities have, sent him, tweeted him congratulations and support him, and that's fine. I guess I do too. But I just kind of have a problem with why you lie about it.
I was in Australia in
1990. Just say it's none of your business.
I was in Australia in 1990. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we stayed at a guest house in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And one of the owners was a former board member of Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, because he had met somebody who was Australian, and American law did, and still, it just changed this year. American law did not allow him to bring his partner to the United States, but Australia did allow somebody to bring a gay partner, this was in the late 80s, to Australia.
Really?
Yes. Australia does not have a problem with gay people.
Wow.
I mean, that's such internalized homophobia.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad he's over it.
I am too.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But... Oh.
Yeah, yeah. after nearly total cleaning house of this season's panel of The View, there's been much speculation about who's going to be hired to join the lone surviving cast member, Whoopi Goldberg. Now, the first hired, and in this case, it's going to be a rehired cast member, has been made official. Rosie O'Donnell will rejoin The View. The news of O'Donnell's return... Of course, it's become controversial. I don't know why, but it has, because her former co-host Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who's now on Fox News, has been making some really awful comments
about
her.
She absolutely hates Rosie.
She hates it. Well, I think it's mutual. And so they've been going back and forth. She and Joy Behar, anyway. Rosie so far has not made any comments, but I'm sure she will shortly. So
I don't know. Rosie's kind of shy.
Just like you are.
Yeah, just like
that. Yeah, just like you are. Uh-huh. And last, more sports news. If you haven't checked it out already, be sure and pick up the August issue of Out Magazine. Michael Sam is on the cover. And I didn't realize this, but this is the first gay magazine he has made the cover of.
He has
since
not
he came
been
out.
Available. We were trying to get him.
And they say this. This is also the first time he's done an interview with any gay press.
He has not made himself available. We have tried.
So
I would love to have had him on.
So I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna slam the gay publications.
I wanted to talk football for an hour.
You don't know how funny that is. David talking football for an hour. So I wish you had landed that interview.
We'll see if...
Keep trying.
We are going to keep trying.
Seriously.
We're going to keep trying because that would be...
And from the excerpts that I've read, you know, they say he's a really great guy.
He seems to be a nice guy.
He seems like a really nice guy. So,
you know, I want to go back to The View.
Okay.
Okay, so you said they cleaned house.
They cleaned house.
That included Barbara Walters, who left.
Yes.
Because she retired, right?
She retired.
Okay. Since she retired, she is all over ABC.
Yes.
She retired 2 weeks later. She's doing another show. I thought you retired.
Maybe she just retired from The View. That's what it was.
I think that's a good point. I think she just retired from The View.
Then why was she on absolutely every single news program from CNN to Fox to ABC, NBC, CBS? Everybody interviewed her because she was retiring. And now she is all over. It's like, you retired. I don't want to hear you again.
It's like the Cher. How many times has Cher had
She's
a farewell
coming back
tour?
Again.
Exactly. Five or six times now?
Yeah.
I thought you retired, lady.
No.
And how does Barbara like... Like 92? Like, she's up there.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I mean, I love Barbara. As someone who studies journalism, Barbara, I respect her and I love her.
But you know what? You can leave The View and continue doing your other... But to have gone on this media rampage that she's retiring...
Ratings,
she
David.
Retire.
Ratings, David.
She was
That's
saying
how they
that
do
she
it.
Wanted to go relax and, you know, take a break. But you're right. She's
I understand she doesn't want the daily grind, and so she doesn't want to do that, but she's going to continue doing... Not one mention during her farewell tour that she's planning on doing...
A whole other show.
Another whole show
that
she had to have already been working on because it was on 2 weeks later.
True. Good point.
You know...
What's
I don't want to see it. I'm not going to see Cher when she comes through. She retired.
For the fifth or sixth time.
Now, if this was a comeback tour, I'd say okay.
Okay. Now, I don't think she's had an official comeback tour.
No, she hasn't.
They all have been farewell.
They've all been farewell tours.
Yeah.
And she's coming back again. No. You don't get my money.
You know, that's how easy it is to pimp the gays for money.
Uh-huh.
Seriously, but I'm not one of them.
Well, I'm not either, and I'm not buying it with Barbara Walters.
No. Well, I'm going to go see Cher because I've never seen her before. I'd love to see her.
Well, I've seen her on TV. That's enough for me. So
we're talking to Jelinski Brown. He is the program coordinator for United Black Element, UB.
Yes.
It's called for short. We're talking about just some of the different issues that he deals with people that come through. First of all, you had said that you're doing on next Sunday, you're doing an outdoor
next Saturday brunch
and sack races and
just
fun stuff. You said last year you did that 500 people attended.
Upwards to 500 people over the past
That's
day because they've had it every year. I don't know what the exact number was last year.
I'm not asking for exact. I'm asking for, I had thought maybe 50. And that would have been a good number. 500's a lot
of
people.
Even our skate party that we had back in May, we had over 300 people there.
That's
and
huge.
And then in
that
June, Juneteenth weekend, which is a pretty big weekend in African American culture, we had a weekend of events and we saw over 400 people.
That's huge. And
that
they're
weekend.
Different people, I bet.
Right. So we try
that's
to
huge.
Do different
we need
stuff
to have
to
him
try.
On the show sometime. That's a lot of people he's
that
dealing
is.
With.
And that's the thing we do with our events. We try to do different like different types of events because we understand that the guys who may come to like a club type event may not come to the interfaith panel discussion. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do the different event types so that we can reach as many guys as possible. You may have the...
Well, I'm upset now because the weather was terrible. We had about 50 people or so at the interfaith panel.
Yes.
But it should have been 200 people there.
Hopefully there will be. We'll have another one in August and another one in September, which I hope that you'll return and sit back
to.
On the panel again.
Yeah, we had a ball. Great questions, great discussion. Let's talk a little bit about spirituality, because that is a big issue in the black community.
It is.
And it's a little bit different than in white community, Hispanic community. Tell us why.
Well, a lot of it, in my opinion, I think is... a lot to do with how when black people were first brought over in the Atlantic slave trade and, you know, the Christianity that religion was brought on to the black people, you know, they really internalized it. And this has just become so entrenched into our culture that now it's like the number one thing. And it's so many things, in my opinion, it's like kind of contradictory to like the way life works, and then having that. And then for me, I'm actually not a Christian. I consider myself a Buddhist, but I'm more spiritual than anything, because I'll take a page from the Christian book, Jewish, whatever I got to do to nourish my spirituality, I'll do it all. But I think a lot of it has to do with people not questioning anything. It's just, you know, their minds are just, this is what it is, believe that because this is what the Bible says and this is what you've been told. And a lot of folks don't question things. So it goes to situations where it's almost like a form of ignorance, you know. And not that ignorance is bad, but if ignorance goes untested, then it definitely is bad. So I think a lot of times folks get scared to challenge things, you know, due to the magnitude of religion and how big the church is and how important that is.
Now, on Wednesdays at your headquarters, your...
At our drop-in space.
Your drop-in space. It's in Deep Ellum. You do a Bible study on
Correct.
Wednesday evening. How does that Bible study differ from what you would see like at Cathedral of Hope?
Well, the one thing that we try to do at the Bible study is really... the pastor that leads it, his name is Pastor Will Horn, and there's another pastor, Cedric Adams. And these two gentlemen are very, very enlightened individuals. And they really, I think, try to deliver the message and teach the Bible as if just so God, people know that it's up to your own interpretation and not necessarily using it as a form of control. You know, it's a book of redemption as opposed to a history book. And they're really providing, I think, so much insight that, you know, I don't think I've ever heard in a church previously that, you know, kind of like the pastor secrets. They're really just letting it be everybody. You know, there's no pastor secrets. It's, you know, we're all here to worship and help uplift each other. So, you know, if you know what I know, then you can help me just like I can help you. And, you know, they're really trying to even the playing field to let people know there's no difference between anybody, you know, as far as the pastors goes. And then the Bibles, they're really just, you know, letting these guys know that there's this a toolbox as opposed to just a, you know, set way.
And this is non-sectarian.
Yes, it's where everybody, you know, I go to their church service every so often, and I'm a Buddhist, and I'm very welcome in there, and everybody knows I go with my meditation beads, and you know, it's no hard feelings. You know, we still mix and mingle, and you know, I can listen to their word until they start getting too deep into the Bible. But for the most part, you know, the inspirational messages, it can be applied to anything.
Sure.
So they really just try to take the religion out of it and just get to the relationship with God and the book and, you know, what exists and what really is happening there.
Well, I wanted to go back to the homelessness issue, because that's, you know, it always bothers all of us in the gay community.
Right.
When we have to deal with homelessness, something like 30% or 40% of youth homelessness is among gays and lesbians and transgender youth, and certainly among the Black, gay, lesbian,
right.
and transgender community, it's bad, maybe worse. First of all, what do you do for somebody who comes in who suddenly has been thrown out of their house, 17 years old, thrown out of their house, certainly does not have the means to care for themselves?
In those cases, you know, we get with the guys, basically just, you know, ask them a few questions, kind of survey where they are in their life to see what services that, you know, we have in the pipeline that may be able to help them, or, you know, different resources outside of what we have that, you know, that are offered around the city of Dallas. So we really try to help navigate the different services that are available. So as I stated earlier, you know, if guys come in there, we'll stay there until, you know, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning until we find these guys a place to stay, because a lot of times the shelters will take them in, and then we even work with them until they, you know, find something more permanent, you know, as far as transitioning to maybe they go stay with a relative, or, you know, just really having them to putting it back on them so they can critically think through how this is going to, how can I fix this, you know, whether I need to have a conversation with my mom, maybe I just need to go sit down and, you know, try to work this out with my mom or my dad, whoever it is. You know, a lot of times guys, you know, they think it's just the end of the road once their parents put them out. And a lot of times parents just don't understand. They just need to be introduced to the culture and what's happening. And they'll sometimes they come around, and I've seen sometimes where families just, you know, they shut the door and say, hey, don't even take anything that I bought from you, just get out. And those cases are a little bit more complicated, you know. But like I said, we'll sit down and we try to help line up the resources and really just come up with a plan for these guys to get back on their feet.
Yeah, and a lot of people hear, okay, he was 18 years old. Well, 18, your parents aren't responsible for you anymore. But there's a difference between, okay, when you're 18, you're going to go out on your own, and what do you mean you're gay? Get out of my house now and don't take anything from the house.
Exactly.
Yeah, huge difference.
Huge difference.
You might even still be home at 22, 24
exactly.
because you're going to school, but get out of my house and get out now.
Exactly.
What do you do?
Yeah.
And then the thing about it is, you know, a lot of guys can't necessarily survive on their own if they don't have a strong foundation that they come from. So once you just kick them out of that household, they no longer have that to be attached to. So their life is basically in shambles. You know, they're trying to rebuild and piece up. But it's much easier if guys have a strong foundation, you know, that once they're out on their own, even though, you know, they may not necessarily need anything, they still need that contact with home, say, hey, mom, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, to get that emotional support or, you know, financial support if need be. Those things, if they don't exist, a lot of times guys find it that much harder to be on their own.
I mean, at 17, even a kid who's, let's say he's working at McDonald's, you know, so he has a job after school, but if you don't have a place to sleep,
right,
you can't do your homework, you can't finish school, you can't go to work. What do you do?
I wish people would get over this whole notion of you, just because you're 18, you're grown, you have to move out your parents' house. If you have to stay with your mom, your dad till you're 32, do so. You know, take the time to really create the life that you want for yourself before you just, you know, try to go out and be on your own and things of that nature.
I just hope with those parents. I know what I went through with my father when he got up into his 80s with his Alzheimer's. I just hope some of these parents have the same kind of luck that I did with my father, and that their kids say, ah, you know what? Get out of my house.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
what's good for the goose.
Yeah. Most people.
And isn't that really rotten of me to even say, but you know what?
But no. See, I'm right there with you. I mean, most people know at 18, you just don't literally, on your birthday, pack your stuff and turn and walk out
not
the door.
Not without a plan.
It doesn't,
not without a
it
plan.
Doesn't, it doesn't go like that. You either, you go to college, and even if you're going to college, you still come home from the summers. It's just a gradual.
Well, right. But even some kids do move out on their own at 18. But it's a group that gets together, and they plan that that's what
exactly.
they're doing, and their parents help them find a place
exactly.
that's affordable.
You make sure that they're financially supported. Either you're paying for their rent, they have a job, you make sure you co-sign for their apartment. Yeah, all those things. It's not just a, you're out.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis. Our guest is Jelensky Brown. He's with UB. He's the program coordinator over there. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We have some news stories that are kind of interesting that we want to talk about today, too. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you're going on summer vacation but aren't planning on taking your old car with you, why not donate it to the KNON Vehicle Donation Program? Just call 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll arrange everything from picking up the vehicle to providing the necessary paperwork. Your donation will help support KNON. 877-KNON-AUTO or on the web at knon.org.
I'm Christina from the Owens,
and I listen to Lambda Weekly
on 89.3 KNON FM. See you there.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Jelensky Brown's our guest. He's with United Black Element. Next week, you have three events. Friday night, Lauren is going to be there, be at TMC to sing.
Yodel.
From 7 to 10 p.m. It's an open mic night at TMC. Should be a lot of fun. Saturday you'll be at Exall Park. You're going to do things like potato sack races. There'll be HIV testing, but that's
volleyball
not the main focus of it. It's just to get out in the fresh air and have some fun.
Exactly.
And on Sunday in your community space in Deep Ellum, on Sunday you're going to have a brunch, late afternoon brunch, and discussion?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can visit our website at UBDallas, that's UBEDallas.org/5 years for more information about that.
Great. Or you can just go to myresourcecenter.org and it'll take you right there because
exactly.
you are a program of Resource Center.
Correct.
I want to talk a little bit of news because there have been some interesting, you know, it's like every week something new with marriage comes
every
up.
Every week. I mean, literally every week.
So Philadelphia or Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. I think that's the most interesting one.
Yeah, Pennsylvania overturned their marriage law. A judge overturned their marriage law. The governor, who's Republican and up for re-election, decided, you know, maybe not such a good idea to oppose this. So what he did was he accepted the judge's decision. Same-sex marriage started in Pennsylvania. A county clerk didn't like that. Now, in order to challenge a law, you have to be, as a result of the Prop 8 case, you have to have some sort of...
Well, you have to show... Well, first of all, you just can't be a citizen. You just can't be a common citizen and says, oh, because the government's not going to challenge the law, I'm going to go challenge it. You can't do that. And that's what Prop 8 was essentially about.
It has to directly affect you.
Yeah, yes.
So one of the county clerks, and county clerks issue marriage licenses,
they
so
do.
She did have standing. So you have to have some kind of standing in the case. She did have standing. She took it to the Supreme Court and asked the Supreme Court to put a stay on Pennsylvania's marriage law until the Supreme Court, until a higher court ruled on it, assuming the Supreme Court. Alito said no. Marriage stands. Now, here's what's interesting in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is the first state with marriage equality that doesn't have employment non-discrimination. So, if you're working for an anti-gay employer, you can go out, get married. It's perfectly legal. You can come back. You can get fired from your job. That's perfectly legal, too.
Yep.
First state.
Wow.
Yep.
What a great way to get.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Yeah. Now, we have no evidence of that happening.
Or that it would happen.
Or that it would happen.
I mean, it's Pennsylvania. It's not Texas.
You know, there are parts of Pennsylvania that would surprise you.
When you're thinking
Pennsylvania, you're thinking Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Yep, yep.
You're not thinking the center of the state, which is big. Anyway, Colorado. Also an interesting decision this week. The Colorado decision goes back to Utah. Utah had its marriage law overturned. Utah's in the 10th Circuit, so is Colorado. So when the 10th Circuit overturned or upheld the lower court decision, three Colorado district clerks, or not district clerks, but county clerks, said, well, we're in the 10th District also, that ruling applies to us.
And it does.
And it does, because what your district...
They fall in that jurisdiction.
Yeah. So in Utah, the Utah ruling did not reinstitute marriage in Utah, and Utah had marriage for a couple of weeks before it was stayed. And it's interesting that it was Sotomayor who stayed Utah, and it was Alito who did not stay Pennsylvania, but oh well.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah. You just don't know what these judges are going to do.
Isn't it interesting? Okay.
It's
so
inconsistent.
It is. Well, yeah. So in Colorado, or in Utah, they stayed the Utah decision, but the Utah decision specifically said Utah. So the Colorado clerk said, we're not Utah. The stay doesn't apply to us, and it didn't. Attorney General got hysterical. He asked for a stay, didn't get it. He asked a state court to rule quickly on Colorado's marriage law, and the state court overturned it. But the state court stayed it. So this county clerk in Boulder, the county clerk went to a U.S. district court. U.S. District Court is higher than a state court.
Yes.
So the U.S. District Court in Boulder said, yes, we understand that stay is in place. However, the circuit has ruled, and county clerks who would like to continue issuing marriage licenses here in Colorado are welcome to. So right now, three county clerks are issuing licenses, Pueblo County, Boulder County, and Denver. Mm-hmm. Are issuing marriage licenses. Even Pueblo, which is down south, south or all the way southwest? I think it's just south on I-75, just before the New Mexico border. 25 couples got married there.
Wow.
But Denver, there was a rush on Thursday and Friday so people could get married this weekend. Because who knows what's going to go on next. It'll go to the Supreme Court. That's Sotomayor. She might decide, no, the stay is for the whole circuit.
Right.
I mean, that's what would be fair, wouldn't it? That would be what would be consistent.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, anyway, I find that fascinating.
I really would be glad when somebody just says, okay, let's just stop wasting all this money and just make gay marriage legal for everybody. Same-sex marriage okay for everybody.
And that's going to happen.
I feel like it's going to happen rather soon.
You know, we were saying, the Supreme Court seems to want to let this play out in the lower courts. And not this coming session, but the session after. But these cases are coming through one after the other after the other. Utah just got appealed to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, now we have a case that can. These other cases aren't even at the
level that they can
go to the Supreme Court. Well, we have a case that is at that level now. They can go to the Supreme Court the next session.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have a ruling as early as next summer.
Next June. June 28th,
mm-hmm.
On the second anniversary of Windsor and the 12th anniversary of Lawrence.
Yep.
Yep. That would be amazing.
We can get Justice Kennedy's next gay ruling. But I still think they're going to punt. I think they're not going to hear it, or they won't announce it in October. Because most of the cases they're going to hear, or a lot of the cases they're going to hear, they announce in October.
Yes.
It could be if a number of these other cases that are working their way through the courts get to the Supreme Court by December. It's possible in January they'll announce a couple more cases that they're going to hear and decide to hear either the Utah case or the it could be any of them, the Wisconsin case.
But here's the interesting thing. If they don't hear it, then what the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled stands.
Well, the 10th Circuit, it'll only delay it for another year. I'm expecting them to hear it. I'm just not positive it's going to be next year. I think it might be the year after. Just to let more court cases work their way through.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they have 2 years to wait, though.
Right.
No. I mean, you don't have that long to let somebody know if you're going to hear your case or not.
Oh, sure you do.
No.
Some of those DOMA cases are still sitting there.
No, but they've told them that they're going to hear it. You see what I'm saying? You don't have that long to let somebody know if you're going to take the case or not. You have that long to if you're going to rule on it.
No,
but
they have to rule by the end of that session.
No,
they don't have to take it.
They don't have to take it.
They don't have to announce whether they're going to take it that session even. Just because it's appealed to the Supreme Court now doesn't mean they have to tell you in October whether or not they're going to hear it next year. They can wait till the year after. Hmm. Those DOMA cases, some of them were sitting there for more than 2 years.
Not knowing if they're going to be taken or not.
Not knowing if they were going to be taken. And some of them are still sitting there. That not going to be heard because it's settled.
Right, it's settled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard Nixon.
Uh-oh.
some of his tapes were released. And Nixon said, I am the most tolerant person on that of anybody in this shop. And what he's tolerant on is gay people. What he said was, they're born that way. You know that? That's all I think. They are.
Very progressive, so to speak.
It was progressive for the 1970s, because back then everybody thought it was more nurture, not nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big debate, nature or nurture. And most people thought still, during your formative years, that's when you become one or the other.
Right.
There's been no proof of that.
Right.
No.
But that's what people thought. But he just thought, no, people are born that way. What he did think, though, was that, especially in his administration, they better keep quiet about it.
Don't tell them about it.
It's one thing for people to, like some people we know, because there were people working in the White House who were gay, like some people we know who would do it discreetly, but to make it a national policy. And do you know what he meant by that? Well, they were talking about the Equal Rights Amendment. They were talking about the Civil Rights Law, which was fairly new at the time.
Right.
And so they were talking about, should gay rights be included in other national equality policies.
Even back then?
Even back then, and the answer, of course, was no.
But it seems like most of that just had to come out because of the tapes release. They weren't even talking about that kind of stuff publicly, though.
Yeah, right. No. Exactly. They were not talking about it publicly, but, you know, every White House has private discussions about where do we stand on things, will this be an issue or not. It's interesting, I think, that it even came up in 1971 as will we just add, and it wouldn't have been sexual orientation. I don't know what they would have called it then. What did we call it then? I can't think of it. We didn't use the term sexual orientation at the time, but whether or not it would even be included in any kind of national policy for non-discrimination, the answer was no, and obviously we've been living with that ever since. But in Houston, the it's called HERO, the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, got a challenge. Now, this couldn't happen in Dallas because we don't have this kind of a law on our books. But in Houston, if the city council passes something and people don't like it, they have 30 days to collect, I think it's 25% of the signatures of the registered voters who voted in the previous mayoral election. So they needed...
if you want to get his numbers, I think they needed around 17,000+ signatures.
They got 50.
They got more than enough.
So they have plenty of signatures. It's going to be on the ballot in November to decide the rights of gay people. Can you discriminate? And it's not just gay people. It's the entire ordinance. Houston had no equal rights ordinance.
Period.
So it will repeal everything. There won't be protections based on religion, based on race, based on... anything in Houston.
If it goes through, it repeals all of that?
It repeals everything.
Wow.
And Houston had no equal rights ordinance. It was the only major city in the country that didn't. It's still covered under federal law.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just easier to take care of local things locally.
Right.
I mean, I'm from Houston. It's just kind of embarrassing.
Well,
it really is.
When Valletta was on a few weeks ago, she said, "God, I'm glad I'm not from Houston."
Right.
Because, we had some protesters when we discussed this. They came up, they spoke, we voted. That was the end of it.
End of it. I mean, same thing happened down in San Antonio. It was a little bit of a ruckus.
It was more in San Antonio
than it was here, but still.
They have recall in San Antonio. They tried to recall some of the city council people who sponsored theirs. What didn't work was the right-wing extremists, religious extremists, who wanted to recall these city council people lived in different council districts. They were ethnically, religiously, everything different than the ones who they wanted to, and they lived different places. You have to live in that council district to sign a petition to recall that council person.
Right.
So, didn't work.
Didn't work.
Yeah, did not work.
I guess what's really surprising to me about it is, if you know Houston, and when we had the mayor on our show, she talked about this too. Not only is Houston the largest city in this state, it's the fourth largest city in the country. Mm-hmm. It really is like the only international city in this state. Mm-hmm. It's really, really diverse, not just, racially, but religiously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really a truly international city. And then you see this happening, it's like you don't deal with this in the other top 10 cities in America. Why is Houston singled out city that I'm just baffled about it. It just really puzzles me.
I don't have an answer for
maybe
that.
Maybe they need you to come home and go home and fix it.
I guess so. There is one other little bit of news since we were talking about HIV. Mm-hmm. Some news came out about the Mississippi baby. There's a baby. Yeah, he was born back in 2010 that they said that was essentially cured. She was born. She got HIV from her mother, who didn't know, was not taking her meds when she was pregnant with the baby. But she got a full strong dose of antiviral medication when she was born.
Right.
They thought that it eradicated. Well, it has come back.
Yeah, it's 3 years later.
3 years later, it's come back.
You know, there were two or three people who had gotten bone marrow transplants.
Same thing.
And they thought, and it was for leukemia,
mm-hmm.
and they found that as a result of the bone marrow transplant, which they were not recommending for everybody with
right.
HIV, it's a, you know.
Right. And it was basically the people who they took the bone marrow from had a natural resistance mm-hmm. to the HIV. So,
yeah.
And putting that in the transplant recipients, they were able to utilize that same resistance and
right.
eradicate the
and
HIV.
And it took about 6 months for one of them, 9 months for the other, and their HIV reappeared. But again, this one with the Mississippi baby was so disappointing.
Yeah, yeah.
The doctors who were involved said, oh, felt like a kick in the gut.
Yeah. I mean, she's still healthy and she's, you know.
Yeah, but there's a difference between she's healthy and has to take medication.
Yeah, yeah, they are
for
having
the rest of her life.
She has to put, she is back on medication
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So
it
yeah.
just shows that.
Did they ever take that baby off medication?
They did take her off.
They did,
okay. They did take her off.
There's another baby that they have on, they have in that same kind of boat in California, but they have it. I think she's just on medication. She's just been on
okay.
it. And so they don't know whether it's it can come back or not because she's on medication. So, but it's not showing up on any tests. But.
Oh, okay. No, they took her off, and they thought she was cured.
And what that shows is that HIV hides in the body.
Exactly.
Even when you are showing zero viral load, it is hiding somewhere in
it's
the body
somewhere.
That we don't know about.
Right.
And talking to somebody from AMFAR, they said, you know, we can cure this, but we have to find where it is it's hiding.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important for people to stay in treatment and stay going to the doctor and knowing about your status and your viral load.
Ooh.
So that you can
good segue.
Be sure
yeah.
to, you know, we can all have that collective information so we can one day end this fight against HIV
ooh,
and AIDS.
Ooh, yes. Good segue. Yes. They always laugh at my segues because they're terrible. That was Jelinski Brown. He is with UBE. And next week they have several events, Friday night at TMC, Saturday in the afternoon, 3 to 8 p.m. in Exall Park, and Sunday a brunch from 3 to 7 p.m. at UBE at 3116 Commerce Street. Great organization. Lots of people go.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I didn't ask you, people, it's targeting the black community, but if you're not black, you can still go.
Correct. It's our target demographic is young, black, gay, mm-hmm. and bisexual men ages 18 to 29.
Because I went and I wasn't black.
And you were very much welcome with open arms.
I was. I had a ball, and I'd be happy to be a speaker for you.
And I just want to mention one other thing. Myself, Jelinski, I coordinate the program along with Sammy Nesbitt and PJ Moten. So there's three of us over there at United Black Element, along with a whole slew of volunteers. And of course, we're under resourced in
and
all
and
that.
And we need to go. I hate to cut you off, but that's it.
Thank
for
you
us.
For coming on. Thank you very much.